This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Well, it's Freestyle Friday, everybody, and I am Glenn the Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Joy Orr from Kalamazoo, Michigan, and you are listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for May 18th, episode 1936. This episode is brought to you by Kentucky Performance Products. Good morning, Horse World.
I can't take it anymore!
Thank God it's Friday!
I would like, if I may, to take you on a strange journey.
We work all week so that we can eat and own a little piece of God's ground. Pushing papers and pens, red tape never ends. The stress can turn a smile into a frown. I need some horsing around.
Well, good morning, everybody. Thank you so much for joining us on this Friday morning. Jamie is out because she is horsing around up there in Utah or Oklahoma or whatever state she's in, up there playing with Frisians, and it looks like she's doing a terrific job with the Frisian that she's training, and her and Chad got to go out on a nice trail ride with the most beautiful scenery you've ever seen. If you haven't been keeping up, you can follow it on her Facebook page. Just look for Jamie Jennings. But today, we have one of our terrific auditors and listeners on with us, her first-time co-hosting. We have Joy Orr. Hi, Joy.
Hey, Glenn. How are you?
Good. It's so good to have you. It's so much fun when we get to have the auditors on to help out.
I'm super excited to be a part of it.
We're putting you to work. Now, how long have you been listening to Horses in the Morning? Long time, I think.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, I think I started in 2014.
Oh, so you've been around
a couple of years. Yeah.
You know how it goes, so you shouldn't have too much trouble with this, but we do appreciate you filling in, and we're gonna find out more about Joy, and she kind of has a job that's just like a TV show, so we're going to find out about that in a minute, too. But Jennifer's here, and she's going to tell us what's coming up on today's busy show.
Coming up on today's Kentucky Performance Products Freestyle Friday edition, as you have just heard, Crash Test co-host Joy Orr is joining us today, and she's jumping into the fray as Sherry Grinska sets us straight with some advice on buying a horse business. And then mid-show, Hannah Bartnick is heading to the extreme horse race capital of the world, that's Mongolia, and she's going to tell us all about it. And then crossing the finish line, like with thunderous applause, it's really bad ads. And last but not least, today is both National Pizza Party and National No Dirty Dishes Day. So have yourself some takeout and eat it right from the box.
There you go. And I picked out some lovely choices for really bad ads for Joy to read today. This is your maiden voyage, so let's just say I picked out some good ones that might require some accents, Joy. Just saying.
I will do my best not to offend America.
Well, my Daily Whinny, and all you women can thank me after it, goes out to a guy by the name of Bryce Edwards. He's from Australia. He's a well-respected Western Australian farrier who unfortunately was diagnosed with cancer at the age of 28. And the equestrian community down there, all of his clients and fellow farriers have come together to raise money to help him with his medical costs. And this is where the women can thank me, because they have decided to do, as the Australians like to do, a naked farrier calendar to sell for his, to raise money for him. And they've already raised $20,000, by the way. So it's called the Farrier's Calendar, and it is mostly men. I was happy to see there are a couple female farriers in it. And it is now available. I put the link already to the article on Horse and Hound on our Horses in the Morning Facebook page. page. So if you would like to look at the pretty pictures of hot farriers naked, then you can do that over on Horses in the Morning. And it is a good cause. If you want to buy a calendar, you can always explain to your husband, it was for charity, it's for good cause. So there you go. I'm helping women all across America today. Because that's the way I am.
Well, my first Daily Whinny
ever,
which is super exciting. I had to think about it because there's a lot of great things happening right now in my life, but I have to give it to my loving fiance, Matt. I was at a conference this week, all week, and I realized how lucky I am to have him because he got to take care of the farm while I was gone. And for the most part, it's pretty simple. You know, I have two horses here right now. My young off the track is at my trainer's barn, so he didn't have to deal with her shenanigans. But he had to take care of my pony. And that takes an army to do.
Okay, overall, you have to tell me about your pony.
Oh, she's I can't even say she's great because I know she's great.
This is sounding eerily familiar.
So the pony is, her name is Black Sabbatha, if that gives any clue of her personality. She's this little black Arab, cute as a button. She does not like Matt and she does not care for Matt. She loves me. She is wonderful with me and we have a great time together. She's super snuggly, never does anything really naughty with me. But she has done some weird things to Matt. She loves to upset him. So this week, she ran away from him a couple times. She like smashed him into the gate. She took his hat and threw it. He's okay. He's okay.
Yeah, but she's like got a vendetta.
Oh, she's definitely into the like, you'll never be my dad, like rebellion stage.
Yeah, this is
right
like
now.
Stepchild. Material yes. here.
Yes. Like, so and it's weird because I would love to blame like he's novice at the horse thing, like he maybe just stands too close, not far enough. Like I want to blame that, but I've trained him really well.
This little pony knows exactly what this little pony's doing.
And I can't even correct it because she doesn't do those things when I'm there.
Of course.
So I have no way to like guide it or fix it. I'm like, it's just you. It's just you. So the fact he has stayed with me, he has not requested. We get rid of the pony. You know, he just gives me an update. So, you know,
what
every
a jealous
night I get
little
a text.
Witch, huh?
She really doesn't like to share me. She's just not into that. So, you know, I have to give it to Matt for being a trooper. And, you know, I think that really shows his dedication to this relationship.
It does. The fact that he hasn't run yet. Now, we need to get him on the Horse Husbands episode, and we might be able to fix that. But
it could be some good therapy for him. I think he's got a lot of repressed memories coming out from this pony that we'll find later.
So they both survived the week. Were you worried that one of them would be dead by the end of the week?
I wasn't super worried about that. I did worry that he was just going to leave her outside because my horses come in at night. They're very pampered princesses. And I figured he would just, you know, you can stay out here a little longer and think about your actions type thing.
Not that I ever did that when Jennifer wasn't looking.
Of course, no. I would never. No. But no, he was great. He gave me all the updates. And he did tell me that she licked his head the other day when he was like, picking up some
She was just
grain,
seeing if so he was tasty enough
him.
To take a bite of. That's
what Yeah, it's like, don't let that happen. That's not love.
No, that's a warm up. So, lollipop.
Taste test is what
yeah,
that is.
Yeah, that's right.
So my Daily Whinny has to go to Matt for just,
yay, Matt.
Just being an all-star.
It is nice, though. I mean, it is nice that you have somebody that you can count on take the care of the horses because it's such a pain. It's a, you
it
know,
really
it's something
is.
You just fret about when you go away.
Oh, it's great to have. I have a really great team here between my trainer. I have an awesome farm sitter. So when Matt and I both go out, and then my dad just lives the next town over, so he can always come in because he's been doing this for, gosh, like 30 years now. So
do you own or rent the farm?
So I'm renting it from my parents, actually. We actually just closed on a house in Kalamazoo, so we'll be moving there this weekend.
Oh, wow. You got a lot going on, girl.
It's a crazy time, but it's exciting.
and is there a wedding date?
Yes. So August 11th, I will be getting married, which is exciting.
Congratulations. And is there a pony involved? Or did you learn from listening to us all these years?
No ponies. Well, I'm going on a trail ride because we're getting married in Colorado. So kind of my little bachelorette party is going on a trail ride through the mountains up there. So I'm really excited for that. But no ponies. I didn't need the drama.
Good for you.
Didn't really want the poop in the pictures or when you get a gelding who's a little too excited about the wedding dress. I don't need that.
You learned a lot listening to this show over the past four years.
I had a lot of friends who've gotten married with their horses. And then I have mine who... I couldn't even imagine.
Yeah, bring the pony. That'd work out. That would go well.
I'm sure her resting mare face is going to look great. Just the joy she will share.
What town in Colorado?
Grand Lake.
Oh, you're going to have a great time. What a beautiful place to have a wedding, huh?
I'm really excited.
Well, that I'm really excited for you. That's terrific. Now, I got to ask you real quick before we go to our first guest. Tell everybody what you do for a living.
Yes. Yeah, so I am in city government. So
in Kalamazoo, by the way,
Kalamazoo,
you're the only one I've ever known that's actually lived in Kalamazoo. I just thought it was a made up name for a long time.
I am. I'm rocking and living in the zoo. It's pretty great. But so what I do, I'm kind of in this weird transitional thing, so I don't really know what to call my job right now. So I started out as kind of a supports coordinator for our economic development team. So we mostly work with small businesses and startups, helping them get their business plans together. So I'm really excited about our first guest because I'm going to be all up in that. But it's really fun to do that. We work with like incentives for developers to do transformational projects. But now I'm moving into a new team and it's change management. So I'll be actually working to bring in some new process changes and making the environment for the employees.
And we all know how city employees love change.
Oh, I'm super excited. I'm like ready to rock this boat. I was like, get ready to jump on the change train because it's coming and it's coming fast. So it's going to be exciting.
Now, is it anything like Parks and Rec? Please tell me it's like the TV show.
Yes.
It is?
So I've only been here for a year now and I walked in my first day and I got my little tour and I was like, so... is this like Parks and Rec? Because I need to know. And they're like, no, it's not like that. It is exactly like that. So I love interacting with citizens, and I also hate interacting with citizens. I get a lot of weird requests, gotten some weird emails. I won't get into it, so I won't offend anyone politically. But a lot of government conspiracy type things and concerns. And I have to remind them that I don't work for the White House and I can't do anything for the White House, but I can talk to you about tax incentives. we've had a couple of different people who are really passionate about different things within the community, like protecting the ducks and wanting to build a hobbit house to live closer to them. And I have to sadly tell them, it's not zoned for that in the park. Children come here.
They want to build a house in the park.
A hobbit house.
A hobbit house.
We made out of peat and moss. got those plans before. So it's a lot of fun. And we do a lot of great things within the city. We do chili cook-offs. We do a lot of service events. We have this really awesome event throughout the summer called Lunchtime Live. So we actually bring in food trucks to our main downtown park. And it brings out a lot of people in the community who come out and try different foods. We do get a lot of different shenanigans that come out of it.
I bet you do. It's kind of a medium-sized city, right? It's like...
Yeah, it's just big enough where you can kind of... you know, there's always something to do and things to see and great food, but you're not going to get overwhelmed there.
Well, that's very cool. I'm actually, I don't know if I'm happy that it's like Parks and Rec or not. I'm trying to decide.
I was really excited And then I was like, oh my gosh, my life's a TV show now. And I've been changing characters. So I started out as April Ludgate, like hardcore. I'm now kind of more of a Leslie Knope, but my Ron Swanson's still sticking in there pretty hard too.
So there is that number of shenanigans that go on?
Yes. Yeah. It's, you got to know which character to pull at the right time.
That's funny. All right, let's talk to our first guest.
Okay, so we're bringing on Sherry Grunska from Pro Barn Management, and she's been on before, so it's going to be great to kind of hear about some of her tips and tricks for covering what to do when you're buying an established operating barn. Sherry, are you there?
I am. Hi, guys, and thanks for having me again. I'm super excited.
Morning. We're excited to have you. So tell us a little bit about what it's like to operate or take over an operating barn.
Well, you know, it's been great because over the last year, I've actually been working with two facilities in different states who these wonderful people actually purchased large facilities with everything included, the boarders, the workers, the trainers, and they walked into these situations where they thought all we got to do is run it from the outside, you know, run it, let everything, they had barn managers, everything was in place. And sadly, very quickly, they realized they were losing money right off the bat, things that were not brought up to them.
No kidding.
During the purchasing. So, you know, things that were brought up to them, and they realized within months quickly that they were losing mega money, and there was no resources out there to turn to. And I was just thrilled that they found my website and they called me. So I've been able to fly to one of these large places in another state and spend a week with them to help them get back on track because they just needed some guidance and out, you know. So it's a whole different ballgame when you take over an existing place, because not only are you now the barn owner, but people don't like change. The trainers don't like change a lot of times. They're set in their ways. The boarders, they might be happy because the barn didn't foreclose and they still have a place for the horse, but very quickly, they don't like the changes that you're implementing. Not all of them, but some of them. And so there's a whole different dynamics there, especially if you were always a boarder and now you're the barn owner. That transition doesn't happen overnight. It takes sometimes a couple of years, and these people are not mentally prepared for it. You know, so that's where I step in. I'm there to be their backbone, to encourage them, to give them the tools so that they can walk these first couple of years and figure out what they want to do with this business so that they don't lose the farm, as you so say.
Okay. So I have a question then. So, you know, I work with people who have to deal with change all the time. And the biggest issue of like someone's coming into a new business and taking it over is how they communicate their vision for that. How do you recommend people to kind of go in, especially when the boarders or trainers are already established, how they communicate their vision without seeming like it's a full on takeover? How would you do that?
Well, you know, it's hard. And a lot of times they don't even know what their vision is. And this is why listening to you talk a few minutes ago, it is so important to have a business plan drawn up, even if you aren't borrowing money. Because that business plan helps you formulate what kind of barn you want. It helps you decide, you know, the disciplines, how you want your chores, your rules. It makes you think of every part of that. And a lot of people don't realize that. They think of the business plan as strictly for if you're seeking a loan. And I tell people constantly, write one up for yourself so you know exactly where every penny is going. So what happens is I'm working with a wonderful woman who took over a large facility, and she realized quite quickly that there were problems when she was losing money and the employees. It was costing a lot more to pay for stuff, to pay the employees, and now she's got to raise the board. She has to realize she's losing money in all the special requests. Now she's got to talk to the boarders. There were barn rules that had not been enforced for 5 years. Now she's got to talk to them about barn rules. So I always recommend having a barn meeting right off the bat. Introduce yourself and kind of have something written up that you're going to talk about some of these changes and let them express their fears, because your boarders are going to have fears. The trainers are going to have fears. And I also prepare people. I tell them, I said, you know, you always want it to go smooth, but I can guarantee you there's going to be bumps in the road, and you might have some turnover because some people don't do well with change, especially if they were kind of in charge before. We've all been to boarding barns where sometimes you have boarders that kind of take over because the barn owner has allowed it, or the barn manager isn't strong enough. Those people really have a hard time when someone comes in that's ready to take over, and now they're not in charge anymore.
And you know what? So in some cases, it's best just to boot them, you know, and solve the problem.
Well, it ends up taking care of itself usually, as long as you can stay strong through it. And as long as you know, you have to realize that you're going to probably lose money in the beginning because you're going to have some changes here. You're going to have people, people aren't ready always to jump on to a new boarding place with a new owner. They want to see how it's going to go. If people jump ship, you know, then you have to kind of ride it out a little bit. So I tell people, give yourself a year, a good year, and then another year to really figure out exactly, to fine tune it all. The first year is just making little changes at a time, raising the board. You don't even know what your costs are. You've got to sit down and have a business plan to figure out, okay, how much is electricity, water, all that. A lot of people buy places, they didn't realize how much the water was going to cost. The hay always is a big shock.
Especially if you live in Florida.
You know, they go, it's like, so I help them walk through those steps. And if they're going to have a barn meeting, I give them the tools to talk about, you know, with the boarders, with the trainers, you know, because, you know, it's a hard, people don't like change. And if you all of a sudden put barn hours where there never was, it makes people crabby.
That's the nicest way to put it.
It does. You know, people, not all of them, but a lot of them, you know, they like it the way it was. It may not have been perfect, but they like it for them. So they're happy. And then you come in and you change these things. But they have to realize, if you talk to them and you tell them it's for the betterment of the whole business, because it does no good for the business to go out of business. I think, honestly, my job and what I feel I have a passion for, people don't realize the value when they run a boarding facility, whether it's 5 horses or 40. They don't realize their value. And it's the backbone of the equine industry in so many ways, because it's where the veterinarians come. It's where the farriers come. All the specialists come, because so many people don't have the land. They don't have the acres to have their own horses. And a lot of them don't want that responsibility. They'd rather board. Mm-hmm. I mean, even, you know, the racetracks is another, you know, it's a huge industry, but it's run, if they're boarded, those thoroughbreds come, they're boarded, and eventually they leave. Someone has to run all that. And so that's where I come in. And it's so much fun to meet people and talk to them and help them work through these areas that they're struggling, because they feel all of a sudden alone. There's no support system out there. And that's where my passion is now, is to create the support system and realize that these people need to realize their value. It's a hard life, and it's a great life, but they don't realize their value. And I'm trying to change all that.
I assume that 80% of the time you're walking into a big boarding barn that's been kind of, you know, run half-assed, they don't even have boarding contracts and everything. So you do recommend that you start up from scratch with everybody with a new boarding contract or liability waivers and everything?
Yep. I've gone into a barn and that was newly purchased. It didn't have anything. It didn't have boarding contracts. No liability waivers, no barn rules, nothing. So we had to right away get that stuff taken up, right away, taken care of.
And I assume you get some resistance from that, too. The boarders say, well, I never had one. I didn't ever need one before, you know.
Yeah. You always hear that from a couple people, but it's that's part of change.
And they're usually the people that are going to break the rules on you in the future, because they like the fact that there's no contract. They like that.
Yeah. Most people are pretty good, but you will get a few. And what I have try my hardest to teach barn managers, and the barn owner, really the buck stops with the barn owner. In every situation, I always tell them, I said, you have to have these things in place, because if there someone gets hurt, a horse dies, it's always going to come back to you. It's always going to stop with the barn owner, and you can get, you're going to get sued. So you need to cover yourself. So that's my job, is I get in there, I help them get the basics down so that they're covered in every area. And then their barn rules are going to change. They may start off with a few, and then they're going to change them. And they're going to change several times over the years as things evolve, especially with the different disciplines, different clientele. And the barn rules tend to get longer, and then they tend to get a little shorter once people know what kind of barn you have. And once your turnover is less, once you get to the point where people aren't leaving and you have people that are there for years, it gets so much easier. But boy, when you're taking over a new place, you're pretty much, you're walking into their space. It's not them coming into your barn. You're really coming into their space, and it can be uncomfortable. I had one wonderful woman who took over a barn, and she said, I don't even feel comfortable in my barn yet. I walk in and I don't feel comfortable. And that was my job, to get her to the point where she felt like it was her barn, and she needed to feel comfortable in her own barn.
And do you that carry was really, a big, you know, whip that? When you do that? You walk in with a big whip? Do you have a lunge whip to keep everybody in line? Shh.
I do a lot of talking.
I bet.
I do a lot of talking, and sometimes I have to say things that are hard for people to hear. But, you know, the point is, it doesn't do anybody any good if the barn, you know, barns are going out of business all over the place because they're poorly run. It doesn't do anybody any good if the barn goes out of business. That makes less places for people to board. So I put it to people like this, and I said, either you want a place to board your horse or you don't. But, you know, and it, I can come off a little bit firm at the beginning, but it's because I need to get that person to realize their worth and the value of what they've just done, and to take ownership. And it's a journey, it doesn't happen overnight. It took me like 5 years to get to the point where I was like, oh my gosh, I'm done letting people walk all over.
Did you hear, Sherry, this is funny, because did you hear what Joy saying her new job's going to be for the city?
Yes, I did.
So what advice do you have for her?
I totally get it, because this is so real in any business. It's not just the horse industry. I mean, no matter what business you take over, you're going to have people that are going to not like it.
Absolutely.
And they're going to make things tough. And it's hard. You got to be tough. And I think where I like to think of it is, you can be tough, but be very fair. And people will eventually see it, and they'll see that you're very fair, and that you're not a jerk. You're trying to run a business. And the ones that do think you're a jerk, they need to go down the road anyways. You know what I mean? They're not getting it. They're not getting it that you have put your career on the line here to make a living, to do what you love, and they don't get it because they're not walking in your shoes. And that's what I tell barn owners. I said, if someone does, they're not going to get it. Your boarders, unless they've had their own business, are not going to understand. You try your hardest, and if someone doesn't like the changes, then you're going to probably come to a point where you say, this isn't a good fit anymore.
The guy who taught me,
you have to be willing to do that.
The guy who taught me sales years ago, 30 years ago, when I first started into sales, always said, fire your worst customer every year and you'll make 20% more the next year. And it's true, because that worst customer is the one that only earns you a very small amount and is your biggest pain in the ass and takes up 50% of your time. And once you fire them, it just gives you more time to actually make more money and to be more productive. And I still say today, and I've said it all along to anybody in business, fire your worst customer every year. Just do it. Get rid of them every year, and you'll make 20% more the next year, and you'll be happier.
Well, you know, the thing is with boarding, you know, I think once I do know for sure, you know, when you get to the point when you say, I've had enough, this is the way I want the barn to run. And once you get rid of the people that are not happy with that and they leave, you're going to get a reputation for your area. The horse community is small, and every area has a horse community, and it's small. People talk. There are people that I know don't come to our barn because they know how we run it and they know what we offer, and it's not a good fit for them. we have zero tolerance for drama. I'm just, you know what, I'm done with drama. And they know that. Those people that create drama are going to go to the barns where they know they can get away with it. And they thrive there. It's really, you start building this reputation of what kind of barn owner you are, and the work gets out. And then that's when people, the right people come. And once they come and they stay and they're happy with how you do things, then that's when the job gets really fun and much easier. But it's a journey. It takes, I'm telling people, it takes a year. Don't expect, and that's with any business. It doesn't just happen overnight. People buy this plate, buy a huge facility, and then all of a sudden they realize they don't even have time to ride their own horse, you know, because they're too busy taking care of everything else. So it's, that's why, you know, I hope you don't mind if I put a little plug in, but I just
yes.
published a new book that I have sent out to 82 colleges. It's very current on a business plan for the equine industry and just the whole gamut of starting a business from the beginning, all walking through every step of it, permits, the whole thing. And because I feel like these kids coming out of college are not equipped for the real life of barn management. You know, it's easy to learn how to feed a horse and to do some of the basic horse care, but they're missing the people skills. They're missing the people part of it. And that's, people leave, you know, that's why there's so much turnover, is because people don't know how to deal with the whole business aspect of it. So I'm really hoping that, you know, especially the colleges will pick up this book.
That's awesome, Sherry.
Where can you get it? Where can you get the book?
Yeah.
It's on Amazon. It's called A Step-by-Step Guide to Starting and Running a Successful Horse Boarding Business. And it's geared just for boarding. And it's in paperback and ebook. And it's for any size barn. I have a very large facility, but you have the same issues, even if you have three horses, three boarders at your barn. You will still have the same issues. You still have the same liability. Everything's a smaller scale, but you still have the same problems. So I wrote it with that in hand. And the business plan in there, that part, I wanted to make sure it really opened people's eyes to make them aware. You know, people decide, oh, I'm going to board horses, but they have no clue what kind of clientele they want and what kind of clientele they can even attract for the rates they're charging. And I walk them through this, because you can't ask for X amount of dollars if you don't have a jump, you know, arena or this or that. You can't expect, you know, you have to really have a good idea of what you can offer and what the market can bear in your area. So this book walks them through all that. And then I have lots of scenarios in there for lots of problems that happen when you board horses, and to get them to open their eyes. So yeah, I'm really excited about it. I really want to get it in the colleges and to help these young people just open their eyes so they're a little more prepared, because that's the next generation coming up, you know?
Absolutely. And I mean, that's something that we definitely get on the non-horse business side, is we have these young millennials who are coming up and just eager to get their plans on the ground. So what an exciting tool you've created with this book. So I'm probably going to check it out for myself, honestly. But if Sherry,
well,
we're
thank
just,
you.
Yeah, we're just about out of time. Want to thank you again for coming on. And if people want to learn more about this, where can they find you?
They can go on probarnmanagement.com. I have a full website. I do consulting for people all over the country. And my books are on there. And I blog, and I try to blog once or twice a week on different articles. And I really, my thing is, I talk about a lot of article issues that are kind of controversial. I like to get people talking to make them think. Mm-hmm. So I like to write a lot of articles about just real life barn management, but people don't talk about. So I hope people check it out. I think it's a good tool, and it gets people to open their mind to the whole gamut of it.
Awesome. Well, I think, Glenn, you're also going to put a link up to that as well.
Yes.
In the show
yeah, we'll
notes,
have a
right?
link to it in the Perfect. Show notes, and we'll be good to go. Thanks, Sherry.
Thanks, Sherry.
Thank you so much for having me again. It was a pleasure. And I love your show, and thanks so much.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
We're going to have her back. She's so good. She really is
yeah,
good.
Yeah, that was awesome. I feel like I could have been in that conversation for a couple more hours.
Well, you
please
especially.
Tell me more about
you're going to be doing that job for sure. You're going to have all those people pissed at you shortly.
I know. It's okay. They liked me for the first year, and then they'll hate me for the next 20.
Yeah, exactly. Well, there you go. City government. You're good to go. All right. Let's hear from our title sponsor. We hope they still love us, and that's Kentucky Performance Products. And coming right after that, we have an endurance rider coming up who's also, well, she's pretty tough because she's doing some really tough things this year and piling them all in 1 year, and I'm anxious to hear all about them. We have Hannah coming up next.
Her life was falling apart around her, but when she saw his sweet face and heard the low knicker, the pain eased. She stood in the stall for some time, running a brush over his sleek coat, down his powerful muscles and over his tight, cool tendons. He cocked his back leg, waiting patiently. She scratched his favorite spot and was rewarded with a crinkled smile and outstretched neck. The stress flowed from her body, and she knew with him in her life, she would make it through. This love story is brought to you by Endure Extra, providing high-fat calories, direct-fed microbials, and natural vitamin E to support optimal condition and performance. The horse that matters to you matters to Kentucky Performance Products. Call 859-873-2974 or visit kppusa.com to order today.
Well, we've talked to a lot of tough women on this show over the years, especially covering the Mongol Derby, endurance riding, and all the different sports that we cover. And we have one of those coming up today. Her name is Hannah Bartnick, and she was suggested by one of our listeners, Linda Schwab, said, you got to talk to Hannah because she has a wild year coming up. And it's like she decided, I'm getting older and I need to do everything this year. Hannah, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
All right. So you were bored this year and decided to put a few thousand miles in overseas?
I guess so. Yeah, I've created quite the list of stuff to do this summer and over the fall. Got three pretty unique adventures I'll be partaking on.
So you realize, right, a bucket list is meant to be for the rest of your life and not all in 1 year, right?
Oh, I've got lots of other things to
I bet you do.
Don't you worry.
I bet you do. How long you been endurance riding?
Just about a year, actually. I've been riding for about 14 years now, and I've done a little bit of everything, some dressage, hunter work, jumper stuff. I've always done trail riding, and I've started a lot of colts probably the past 5 years to really enjoy that aspect, but the past year, I've decided to take the trail riding a little bit more seriously, and I've always loved Arabians, so got some nice Arabians and started doing 50 milers, done a 75 here in the U.S., and saw a promo video for Mongolia last year, and just got me really excited, so I decided, let's try to get over there and do some endurance riding there.
Well, so, I have to ask you, because I looked at your pictures today, and you look to be about 12. So how old are you really?
Oh, my goodness. No, I'm 22.
Okay,
I'm
good.
I'm a senior at Virginia Tech, so I am not 12 anymore.
You do look 12. You're going to be carted to your 40. There's no question.
True. It's a great problem, though. Embrace
yeah, Joy,
it.
You probably
embrace
are, too. So, all right. Now, I got to ask you, because we've covered the Mongol Derby the last 5 to 7 years that we've been on this show, and we've had the winners on every year, and, you know, Devin Horn is somebody that we talk to all the time, and, of course, last year, we had Leslie on the show all the time. Matter of fact, it was my stupid idea that she'd do the Mongol Derby in the first place. So I didn't know there was all this other stuff going on in Mongolia other than the Mongol Derby. You're actually doing a ride there that's called the Gobi Gallop. That's a charity event. So tell us about that.
Yeah, so the Gobi Gallop is the longest annual charity horseback ride in the world. It's 700 kilometers, about 435 miles. And it's to take place over 10 days. As a group, we ride through the South Gobi Desert and then up through the steppe. So that's about 45 miles a day, but it'll range. Some days will be shorter, some will be longer. And, you know, it's the riders ride this ride to raise money towards a nonprofit which is called the Valu Foundation. And it's a family-run charity event. It's registered in the U.S. and Canada, and they currently help about 400 children in Mongolia and other parts of the world. So they built a kindergarten to assist some of the children living in poverty outside of the capital of Mongolia. And this year's ride and donation event is to build a second kindergarten to help more children there. So they currently have about 150 children, and they're looking to double that with their second kindergarten. So it's really a nice cause to be able to ride for this, to provide, you know, food and education to these kids that otherwise wouldn't have it. They also have a health services center in the kindergartens to provide health services. And they're additionally working to build a public hot water shower facility and a laundry to help the community with those basic needs. These families were forced to move into the city when an exceptionally harsh winter came through Mongolia and actually froze most of their animals to death, which that's their livelihood. So, you know, they're left in a pretty tough spot there. So I'm super excited to get to experience. I mean, Mongolia is a totally different world. So.
It sure is. And Hannah, I did want to say that we donated today, and I'll put the link on our Facebook page of where they can donate in your name for the ride.
Awesome. Thank so much.
Well, you're welcome. I mean, you're the crazy one out there going to be doing it. I just hit a button. So now,
yeah, the saying is chafe for charity. So
chafe for charity. I like that.
Chafe for charity.
You should be sponsored by Monkey Bug Powder for sure. Hey, Hannah,
Definitely.
Is it a race or are you just all riding together?
It's a small group of 10 riders and we're riding together. Yep. So it's not a race.
And are you on the Mongol ponies?
Yes. Yep. Everything's on the Mongol horses with traditional saddles, all that. We have some, you know, we've got the translators with us and guides, and then we ride 700 kilometers back from south to right outside of the capital. So, it's not a race, but I think we only get two horses that we have to alternate between. So it's really an endurance ride for the horses as well. You know, it's not a switch your pony every 25 miles like the Mongol Derby.
And I just, first off, that's blows my mind. I'm a dressage rider, so I'm in my tight little sandbox, you know, pretty much air conditioned space. So my mind is just blown right now about what you're doing. But you said you're in your senior year of college then as well?
Yep.
So how are you preparing for this with school and all these other crazy things you're doing right now? Like, I need to know where you get your energy. I need some of that.
I don't sleep very much. I mean, my life just revolves around the horses. I've had Arabians this whole past year that I've competed on every few weeks doing 50 miles here and there. So that's kind of gotten me in shape and started some young horses. So yeah, I ride probably 5 or 6 days a week. You know, work at a barn, get some riding opportunities there. So, but everything's been kind of fast paced. I got invited to Mongolia, relatively last minute. I had about 2 months to prepare for it. So, you know, started getting my gear list together and all that. And we've put it together and, finished classes a week and a half ago. So it's time to buckle down. I fly out, May 31st.
Well, and not only that, you're doing something else while you're there. Tell us about the other thing you're doing in Mongolia.
Yeah, so I'm going on a ride to the Last Reindeer People with Eric Cooper, who's a guide. And basically, by car and horseback ride, we trek out to these families that live on in the subarctic along the Mongolian-Russian border, and they live off their reindeer herds. So we're going to ride reindeer for 5 days and help herd them and milk them and help the families get prepared for winter. We'll be collecting fruit and pine nuts and truly living living in the wild there.
We've had Eric on the show before, and he's talked about this trek, and it just sounds amazing in a very rustic way. You will not be sleeping at the Hilton.
No, definitely not. I mean, it's backwoods camping and trekking, and you know everything we take has to be loaded on the horses, and I've seen some pretty gnarly river crossings that we got to get to, and Eric's gone through some unexpected snowstorms before, so yeah, I'm up for the surprise. It'll be very different terrain, I think, than the Gobi Gallop ride, which, you know, takes part more south in the desert region. So should be some more forests and stuff like that to ride through for the reindeer adventure.
Well, before we run out of time...
Hopefully I don't hit his head.
Yeah. Before we run out of time, we got to ask you about the other thing you decided to do this year, like your butt's not going to be hurting enough. And that's the Race the Wild Coast, which is a 350-kilometer endurance race across the east coast of Africa. So from one continent to another.
Yeah, exactly. I'll fly out in October. And, you know, Barry Armitage is running this. Looks awesome. There's 32 extreme river crossings, pretty extreme terrain, temperature, going to get soaking wet and have to ride like that. So I think it's 20 riders this year that are going to be partaking in the race, and we get three horses for the whole thing. So it's a real test of horsemanship and endurance for both the horse and the rider. You know, each stage has a vet check for the horses about every 40 kilometers. So they get a good check over by the veterinarians to make sure they're fit to continue and not too worn out. So winners are expected to finish early on the fourth day. So it should be it'll be a race.
Wow. Hannah, I'm so impressed. I'm only a couple years older than you. So this is just mind-boggling to me. But so you're going to do all these things this year.
Yep.
Are you like prepared to be bored next year for like 19? Like how?
I'm trying to prepare for the Mongol Derby is what I'm trying.
Okay, so you're going to write a book or like a movie script on your life, because I need to read this, your adventure. So.
Oh yeah, I might be able to put something together in about 10 years. We'll see what happens. But no, I mean the goal is to ride, I mean, as many places as possible. I'd love to go to Europe, ride in Ireland and France and Australia. Maybe have a slight chance on doing the Tevis Cup this year. So we'll see if I can squeeze that in between Mongolia and South Africa. But I just live to ride. I love it. There's nothing That's better. Remarkable. You know, I've done dressage. I've ridden figure eights all day long, but I would much rather be running around in the wilderness on an excited pony. So
that's awesome.
What gets my adrenaline going.
You are truly an example of, you know, the strength women have. So, you know, we'll be cheering for you for sure. Glenn, do you have any questions for her?
No, I just, you remind me so much of Devin, actually, because she has
well, that's
this...
a compliment.
Yeah, it is. It is a compliment. But then Devin does some really stupid things at times, too. So, and I can say that because I'm a good friend of Devin's. So the only thing that I see that you haven't done yet is roller derby. Is that next?
I can't roller skate to save my life. No way. No way. I have no balance on anything but a horse for some reason. So
I'm sure
that won't be happening.
I'm sure you'll find something else dangerous to replace it at some point. But do you have? Yep. I have to ask you. Do you have a boyfriend or anything?
I do.
And how's he feel about all this?
Horse is great now.
Yeah.
On
what's
this.
Wrong with him?
What's he? Oh gosh. Oh. No, he's really excited. He's been super supportive of me. He's always my number one fan. So, you know, he's sad to see me go for long periods of time. But he's keeping my puppy safe, and I'm really happy to have that support team at home. And, you know, he's just great. But he's definitely not a horseback rider by any means.
Well, we're thinking about you. We'll be rooting for you. And I think it's a great cause what you guys are doing. I read all about it this morning. And as I said, we donated and we'll put the link up. It's theride.co. Or no, that's the wrong one. I'm sorry. It is, I have to put the link up. I don't have it right here for your, for the fundraising. But do you know the website?
People can go to the, it's the valoofoundation.com. And they can scroll through all the riders and click on my name, or they can just donate to their cause in general. So
it's V-E-L-O-O. Really, right. V-E-L-O-O.
Yeah.
valoofoundation.com. Yeah. Okay.
So. Yeah. And Julie works really hard to keep the website updated. It's got all the initiatives that that foundation is working on. It's got bios on all the riders, what we're doing. So you could spend a couple hours scrolling through that website and learning about it. She does a really good job of posting everything there.
All right,
and
very good.
Of course, anyone's welcome to follow me on Facebook under my personal account and keep up with my travels here. So
it's Hannah, H-A-N-N-A, Bartnick, B-A-R-T-N-I-C-K. Well, good luck, Hannah. Yep. Stay safe, all right?
Yes, best of luck,
Thank
Hannah.
Thank you so much. Y'all have a great day.
All right, take care.
Bye.
I feel fat and lazy.
Oh my gosh, I feel old. I'm only 4 years older than her. And I was like, what did I accomplish today?
In 1 year, going to do all of that. And you know what? I remember the time in life when you could take the time to do all of that, which I kind of miss. But and then next week, you know, next week we're going on vacation for a couple of weeks to Alaska, but we're doing nothing adventurous like this, Jennifer. We're pretty chilly watching whales, drinking, eating, drinking, watching whales. I think Jennifer's on. Wait a minute. Let me get Jennifer on here.
Hi.
Go ahead, Jennifer. You're back on.
Well, I'm sending you whale watching. I'm going on a hike.
Okay, good. All right, good.
That's adventurous.
I'll watch whales. Jennifer's hiking.
Make sure you bring your bear bell. You'll need that.
Yes.
Yes, I'm bringing the bear bells. Yeah.
I follow, I got to tell you, you've heard me talk about her before. We follow Dixie, who is a long distance hiker. And she's out of Alabama. She's done the Appalachian Trail and she's done the Pacific Crest Trail. And now she's finishing the Triple Crown of Hiking, which is the, what's it called, Jennifer? It's the trail that goes through Colorado.
Continental Divide Trail.
And she had an encounter yesterday. I was showing Jennifer the pictures. She was walking by herself through the woods in New Mexico. She had her other people she was hiking with had gone ahead of her. And she heard rustling ahead of her about 20 yards. And standing there was a very large mountain lion.
Nope.
Staring at her from the trail. She said they eyed each other up for about a minute and a half. She said she made as much noise as she could. She did everything to try not to run, which would have been the wrong thing to do. And the mountain lion wasn't moving, just stood there staring at her. And she has these close-up pictures of this mountain lion just staring her down.
Why would you take pictures? Oh, my gosh.
That's social media today. I mean, and she was smart not to turn and run, which would have been my first inkling, right? And then the mountain lion just sauntered off. And she thinks that the mountain lion had been stalking her for a while because she kept hearing things in the woods.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
I would have had ulcers. I would have needed ulcer guard.
Well, she did
that.
Say she had to change her pants after.
Nope.
You going to stick with that nice safe dressage arena?
I love my sandbox. I will dance in there all day.
Well, that was great, Hannah. We wish you the best of luck. And it is VELOOFoundation.com. When I get a chance, or Jennifer gets a chance, we'll post that on Facebook. I wish her the best of luck. And boy, she even sounded like Devin voice wise. She had the same inflections.
I wondered that. I was like, is this Devin's alter ego?
I know. And of course, we're going to be following the Mongol Derby greatly this year, as we usually do. Devin's been coming on once a month on the Stable Scoop Show. We've been getting updates from her. We're going to be doing nightly wrap-up. We're even talking to Mongol Derby people now about making that kind of official. So we'll be doing Facebook Lives every night like we did last year. hopefully getting Leslie to help and a couple other people, and following Devin's progress through the Mongol Derby. I know you all enjoyed that last year and nobody got any sleep. So we're going to do that again this year. And, you know, Devin never is out to lose or come in second place. So it should be interesting. Let's take a break. We got really bad ads coming up. Joyce, first time doing really bad ads. But first, I'm going to play a little Green on Green. We haven't heard that in a long time from Marianne Kennedy. And this is in dedication of your maiden voyage here on the show. Green on Green.
Sounds like clean.
Green on green makes black and blue. Wouldn't ride that horse if I were you. It's like walking on a high tight wire. Dynamite too close to fire. Today you might get off scot-free, but chances are eventually he'll go up. You come down, that's when you'll understand this song. I can't tell you what to do, but green on green makes black and blue. Green on green makes black and blue. I wouldn't ride horse if I were you. He's your first and he's only two. Haven't you heard? Take my word. Green on green makes black and blue. If I were you, it's like walking on a hot tight wire. Dynamite too close to fire. Today you might get off scot-free, but chances are eventually you go up, you come down. That's when you'll understand this song. I can't tell you what to do, but green on green makes black and blue.
That they can count on Ovation's value, quality, and style when it comes to hard-wearing schooling attire, affordable show gear for horse and rider, or top-of-the-line equipment for riders at every level. From breeches to bridle work, saddles to stock ties, helmets to half-chaps, Ovation is the premier brand of riding apparel and equipment for you and your horse in the United States, outfitting riders at every level from head to toe. Ask for Ovation brand riding helmets, breeches, and footwear at your local tack store, or go online to ovationriding.com and see the fantastic variety of quality, fashion-forward, affordable products from Ovation. ovationriding.com.
And you can find all of Marianne Kennedy's music at mariannekennedy.com. And that was called Green on Green. Well, are you ready, Joy?
I am so ready.
Pay attention.
If you ain't met one by now, you're bound to sooner or later. He says one thing and he means another, but hey, he can't help it. He's a horse trader.
Horse trading. Well, it's a laissez-faire, let the buyer beware. Horse trading, they tell a low-down lie with a sincere stare. Horse trading, well, if they're talking in circles and the deal ain't square, he's a master in the fine art of persuading. Horse trading.
Well, that's right. It is time for Really Bad Ads, that time of the week when listeners submit really bad, usually Craigslist or Facebook ads, and we have a little fun with them. We've been doing this. I just looked. We've been doing this for 6 years now. And I, before we get to that, I wanted to remind everybody that we will be here live on Monday as usual. We'll have another auditor. Megan will be filling in for Jamie on Monday. So, and then we'll go over the rest of the schedule for the next couple of weeks while Jennifer and I are out on vacation, but we will have new episodes for you. So Monday we will be here live with another auditor helping out. And Joy's doing such a great job today. She's probably going to be back.
Yay!
We'll have to invite her back. Well, we'll see. Wait a minute. She hasn't done really bad ads yet, so she might actually suck.
Yeah, you'd be like, no, not again.
Jennifer, what do we have for a prize for this month?
Back again by popular demand, we've got the world's heaviest really bad ads prize. That's right. It's the gift box from Redmond Equine. At Redmond Equine, we love horses. So we understand that when your horse feels good, you feel good. And we provide natural, effective products that let you focus on what you love about your horse without worrying about their health. And they have lots of really cool products like the famous Redmond Rock, the one that looks like a rock and your horse loves to lick. The Redmond Rock on a rope so you can keep it up off the ground. Redmond Rock Crushed, which we keep around our house all the time. Daily Gold for keeping tummies happy. Rainwater for helping hydration in the water bucket, and first aid for horses for boo-boos of all sorts. And you can find more information at redmondequine.com and look for the Redmond Rocks and Redmond products at your local tack and feed supplier.
Thank you very much, Jennifer. Well, we're going to see who gets a chance to win the heaviest gift ever and the one that UPS people absolutely hate.
If so, I make an ad for my pony, can I enter for this?
Yes.
I could use that.
Yes, you can. So you're not on the payroll, so you're good. You can enter.
Yes.
Well, Scott, you know, you get double the credit if you actually read your own ad and you send it to us in a sound file. You'll get double the credit. And we have Scott on here who sent one in today. So let's take a listen.
Hey, this is Scott. This bad ad comes from Craigslist in Greensboro. Title is Six Horses for Sale, $1, Brown Summit. And it reads, I have six horse for sale, quarter horses, a pony, a buckskin, calls only, I won't send tons of pics. If you want to see them, you can come see what I got, no emails or text. So there you have it. Six horses.
I'm not sending you crap. You come out here and see it yourself. Who does that?
Oh.
Dealers. That's who's going to go out there. That's about the only one. All right. You have the next one.
Okay. Oh, darn. I'm going to probably offend some people. Full disclaimer. I am from the North. My Southern accent is going to be stereotypical. So send all your complaints to Jennifer at Horse Radio Network. But I have a horse for sale, $1,000 in Charleston. I'm going to guess South Carolina. Love this thing, but it's becoming quite difficult to keep it in my backyard in downtown Charleston. Plus, my landlord isn't too happy about the large droppings. Time to say goodbye to my best friend, Biscuit. Seriously, worries.
Actually, that was a beautiful Southern accent. My friend Biscuit's going to go. The droppings are too big, and I'm not allowed to have the horse in town anymore. Probably wasn't allowed to have the horse in town in the first place.
It has to be a mini, right, if they're downtown. Like, is she keeping the mini in her, like, condo? Or I have so many questions.
She doesn't really say it's a mini, though, so it could be like a Percheron for all we know.
Oh, gosh. I kind of want to call.
I know. Lorene sent that one in. Thank you so much, Lorene. And well read. That Southern accent's very good. You got the high. You have the upper class Southern accent, where Jamie has the lower class Southern accent, the redneck. All right. Tara read her own here. And I'm going to see if I can figure out. There it is.
Hey, guys. This is Tara from Texas. And I have a really bad ad. It's actually a really funny ad. From English Tack Trader on Facebook. OTTB Special, 17 and a half county sensation in perfect condition, $3,500, Beckley, West Virginia. My friend purchased this saddle for a special little Porsche 911 of a mare back in 2015. She swiped her credit card to the tune of $5,000 and began the long wait. While waiting for this saddle to be handcrafted over the pond in England, that hot little ticket of a mare sold. The gold medalist Philip Dutton even attempted to buy her. My friend rode in it a total of 8 times, but just hasn't had the right mount since then. So, this lovely saddle has just sat beneath its cover waiting. Waiting for a partner. Maybe you're that partner. You deserve an upgrade. This saddle boasts County's upgraded dark chocolate buffalo leather. Has your leg slipped over those big fences? Hey, it happens. This saddle has squishy knee pads hiding large supportive rolls, designed to keep you firmly planted no matter how challenging the track. The 17.5-inch seat and standard flap configuration works for, well, basically everybody. Listen up, all you OTTB aficionados. This saddle is built on a narrow tree, so it's perfect for all those hot little numbers you adore. What's more, this saddle features the skid row paneling. If I understand correctly, this paneling fills those depressions at the wither and keeps you riding onward without the concern of pesky pressure points and associated soreness. Here's what County has to say. Quote, County's new Sensation jumping saddle is specifically designed to provide comfort and clearance for high narrow withers like no other saddle in the world. The difference for your horse can be amazing. The ride for you will be sensational. End quote. Don't you need a few more sensational rides in your life? I do. Trust me, I do. Now, I'm not saying a 2-time gold medalist is going to spot your guy and offer you a wheelbarrow full of cash and effectively launch him into international stardom, but I'm not saying he isn't either. All you need is the right equipment. Am I right? Or am I right? Here's an interesting tidbit about the owner. She's open to trades. Now, the last thing she needs is another narrow saddle. But otherwise, she's willing to hear you out. Chinchilla? Maybe. Birkin bag? Probably. Best Buy gift card? How much boot you got? With that said, she explicitly precluded children and reptiles from the list of possibilities. So bring your best offer and we'll do our best to make you the proud owner of a stunning County Sensation. Thanks, guys.
All that for a saddle.
I mean, do we charge County for a free ad?
I was thinking that, actually. I was thinking this is just a free ad for County.
Oh, my gosh. So, I mean, I do need more sensational rides.
Well read. Thank you very much for that. I could have read that as a personal ad, too, really, if I had just changed the inflection a little bit. The next one is our horse trailer of the week, and Jennifer said she got some really interesting horse trailers in. Apparently, we're finding a whole lot of really interesting horse trailers. Now, this one is $450, which I can tell you is $450 too much. It's in Vassalolaboro. I have no idea where that is. Old horse trailer has new fender. Wait a minute. Old horse trailer has new fenders? There's no fenders
Are
on
they
it.
I don't know. Are they still in the garage?
I don't know. There's no fenders on it. And has a door. Let's try this again. Old horse trailer has new fenders. Door needs hinges. Yeah. There's more than that needed in this trailer.
Door needs a door.
Yeah.
Where's the door?
There's no door.
It's just a hole. It's not a door.
This is your typical two-horse round-fronted trailer that we get almost every week. It has your typical amount of rust. It used to be green at one time. Now it's kind of a rusty green. And the tires, well, you're going to need new ones because I can't even, the back tire looks like it's buried in the ground about 3 feet.
It's committed to staying there.
Yes, it's not going anywhere.
It's being swallowed by the earth.
Does it look like a dog's leg hanging down in the front of the trailer inside?
I was also wondering that.
I don't know. What
so if you need a, you know, kind of unique type of dog house, maybe that's what this could be used for. You would want to clean it and make sure your dog is up to date on its shots.
Shots, yeah. It looks like they're housing other things in the trailer, like a big, big pipe and other things. I'm not sure what.
Maybe a hose or
I can't tell
cable?
What that is. I wonder if it comes with the trailer because, you know, this thing is not worth $450.
It looks like there's some trash bags in the inside.
Oh, and did you see the barn behind it? I'm not sure what that is in the barn.
That's a barn?
It looks scary. Whatever is in the shed or barn behind
That's
it.
That's haunted. Yeah. Don't go there. This could
be, I would not go here by yourself, and do not go here unarmed. I'm just saying. Not that anybody in Vasilisville Borough would do anything wrong. Not saying that either. But that was submitted by Ellen. All right, Sally sent the next one. All yours. And guess what? It's Georgia.
Woo! Sorry, Jamie, I'm going to offend you too. So I have a wonderful cow horse for $1,000 in Gold Creek, Georgia. Butterfly is a beautiful 14-year-old bay mare. She stands about 16 hands tall, is well broke, and is a wonderful cow horse. She would be good at cutting, roping, or just general ranch riding horse. However, she does not like women, and only men have been able to ride her. Other than that, she trailers, packs, sounds good for grooming and trimming of her feet. She has good hard feet and has never needed shoes and will go wherever, whenever, and will go forever. She gets along great with other horses, but she's kind of a top dog horse, but she's not mean, just a little pushy. She's also an outstanding broodmare and passes her good nature onto her foals. We are asking $1,000 for her, or trade for 6 ton of good quality hay, a younger but preferably broke Molly Mule, a four-wheeler, or garden plastic for our greenhouse. Come check her out and ride her if you like. You'll fall in love with her. We guarantee it.
How many people want a horse that have that much garden plastic sitting around? And by the way, and she's a great broodmare. We'll pass on her good-natured pushiness to her foals. Yeah. But you know what this mare's like, right?
She's like my pony.
She's like your pony. Exactly. Exactly. Are you trying to sell your pony? Are you sure this isn't Gold Creek, Michigan?
No.
Okay.
I wouldn't ask $1,000, that's for sure.
Angela sent the following one in. ISO saddle for thoroughbred. Free. Looking for an English saddle that will fit my 3-year-old thoroughbred. Outgrew my saddle and want to be able to restart her very soon. Okay, did the horse outgrow the saddle or the human? And who's going to just give her a free saddle?
I mean, the free ones have a broken tree, and they'll still charge you $500
that's right,
plus shipping.
That's right. That's true. That's true. Big holes in the leather was something.
It's only been in my garage for 20 years. Yeah, it's fine.
It's fine.
Just don't trust the billet. It's great.
And all that mold, don't worry about that. That'll come off.
That's nothing.
Yeah, that's nothing. Yeah,
what is it? What are they using now? Coconut oil or whatever?
Yeah.
Go to OTP Connect. You will find all your solutions.
That's probably where this ad came from, actually. Hey, all right. Where are we at here?
Yep, you're right. April's next. Yep.
Okay. That's yours, I think.
No.
I just have a
color coordinated.
Okay. April sent the following one in, and it's just a picture of a white horse pony. I can't tell if this is an evil little pony or a nice little pony. I don't know. And the ad just says, not broke area of Rice, Texas. More info, 214.
Oh, that's not a nice pony.
All it says is not broke area of Rice, Texas.
Cut that out. Feed that for a soundbite, please.
Yeah, that's not a nice pony. You look
at the
eye.
I'm pretty sure that's a nice donkey.
It's a donkey?
Yeah.
Do they make donkeys in white?
Yeah, they do.
I didn't know that.
Or a hinny. That's probably a hinny because the ears are relatively small. So I'm guessing that's a hinny.
And a hinny that looks like he's not ready to go anyplace.
No, she has a. She's slightly pushy, I'm sure.
Yeah, slightly pushy. That's right.
Charmingly so.
You know what? You could breed that. Wait a minute. You can't, actually. So we'll forget that.
Thank goodness.
And Robin sent the following one in. Let me see if I can find it.
Ranch/trail/sorting. Sugarman, 11-year, 14.3 HH, is a incredible fancy gelding. Very flashy. You will differently be noticed riding him. He transitions very well, super smooth, picks up booth leads, walks, trot, canter with a low headset naturally, stands very quiet tied, ground, line tie, jumps in the trailer and hauls like a dream. He is a pleasure to be around, exceptional ground manners, very broke, turns around, moves off your legs, back, open gates, been in the branding pen, gather cattle, been ranch rooped off, He has been in rough terrain mountains, city trails, goes through water/creek, over bridges. Easy to catch, walks right up to you, loves attention, baths, gets along with mares/gelding/pony/goat/dog, etc. Can be in pasture/or stall. Don't look any further if you're looking for a super safe and gentle gelding for the whole family. Go do a day's work and then throw your kiddos on him to build their, T-H-E-R-E, confidence. Any level of rider can ride him. He will take care of you. He has no bad habits or issues.
Sure. I'm not sure about that.
Yeah. I was having my doubts.
I was like, why does he sound like the unicorn horse that everyone wants, yeah, but you're selling him?
Yeah.
And you didn't ask for guns or four-wheeler.
No, that's true. And
something's
Texas.
Off. I'm suspicious.
And it's Texas. You would think that would be a given. All right, Mel sent the next one in, and it's all yours.
All right. Oh, good. We got pronunciation and good things
here.
Oh,
it's in Florida. You're safe. You know, no Southern accent needed.
Perfect. I have a 12-year-old grade quarter horse mare, sale or trade, $1,000. All these horses for $1,000. Shoot. I need to go down south in Paisley, Florida. Let's see. I have a 14-3 hand grade quarter horse that is up to date on everything. Her name is Sunshine. I have all papers for Sunshine from when I first got her. Sunshine has been started on barrels and poles, needs to be finished. Sunshine goes Western and English. She loves water and kids, would make a great kid's horse or husband horse. Sunshine has bucked in past, but never with a kid or a beginner on her. She also has reared and is getting better, but that's only when she is forced to do something or you use your spurs to back up. Sunshine is fine alone or with others, but not in the pasture. She does not get attached, or she does get attached to other horses very quickly, so she is better alone. Sunshine is not a marish mare by far and takes it from the other horses. Takes what? Sunshine loves to jump, knows how to bow kiss, bow kiss and hug me, and just don't get along. She comes in with her saddle, bridle, and breast collar all matching hunter green. I'm willing to trade her for a younger horse, mare, or gelding, 15 hands, that is over 3 years old, that has been started under saddle, where you can ride with no issues, picks it upon request.
What's her name again? I missed that for some reason.
I think it's like something like Mary or...
Her name would be Sunshine, too. Oh, that's the only thing I could think of is this is perfect. Sunshine. Oh, she's fine alone, but with others not so good. And, oh, she does and buck.
Like, she used what I call a sandwich. You know, I'm censoring myself. This is a general public radio thing. But she does what we try to avoid in the public sector, where we say, you know, this is really great, but don't worry. It could get better if you believe.
That's right. That's right. If you believe. If you only believe in this horse, she will not buck you off and trample you to death.
It's always a big old butt in that sense. But so.
She is reared, you know, but that's okay. Rearing's not a problem. And she's never bucked with a kid or beginner, but you, well, she's going to buck for.
If you have a horse that's bucking and rearing, why are you still wearing spurs? Yeah. You've already identified the problem here.
Yeah, because they're wearing spurs because she doesn't move. She stands like a statue and doesn't move because she doesn't really want to move. That's the problem. But she's sunny. She's sunny. Samantha sent the following one in. Homer, who is an AQHA Bay 2003 gelding, is a super athlete and very cowy. He has an ugly head. There's a selling point. But you don't ride his head. He is tough and has great feet and bone and will go all day, and he is smart. He is getting started now. He will be the best ranch gelding a person could have. Pretty is as pretty does. His pedigree is awesome. Summer special, $1,200. His pedigree apparently didn't include nice heads. So basically, the other thing that jumped out at me is he is getting started now, but he is tough and has great feet and will go all day. How do we know he's going to go all day if he's just getting started now? They haven't ridden him yet. How do we know he's going to go all day?
Because I feel like they're overselling as well. Like, he'll be the best ranch gelding a person could have.
Yes.
I mean, if he's not trained, can you really make that guarantee?
You know what's happened? Several people have come out to see this horse. They've looked at the face and went, I'm out of here. I cannot buy that thing.
I didn't come for a mule. Although I think mules are cute. I would totally buy one.
Yeah, I think mules are probably cuter than this particular AQHA bay gelding. He's ugly. Apparently really, really ugly. Thank you, Samantha.
All right. I have one from Trish. Oh, okay. It's a long one, and it's very southern. All right.
Virginia.
I'll do my best. I don't know if I should use like a used carsman sales voice at this point.
Oh, you know what? That'd probably be perfect for this particular ad.
I'll do my best. Trade my diamond ring for your draft horse and trailer tack. I thought it said truck at first. In Virginia, I'm looking for a well-trained, sound, sane, healthy draft horse. Specific breed, not important, and can be well-muscled draft cross. Sex, not important, but no stallions, please. I do not breed or show and am primarily interested in trail riding. Maybe someday learning more such as drive-in, dressage, or gymkhana. Right now, these are just the items on my bucket list. If the horse comes with tag and a trailer, that's even better.
I love your southern accent. It's perfect. Sorry.
I have a diamond ring appraised between $13,000 to $5,000. Is that like 13 or 13,000? Because that is a huge difference.
I think she's saying 13 to 15,000.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. Be careful with that on Craigslist. And could have been put on consignment in a resale jewelry shop a year ago for $10,000. It is a custom made full 14 karat yellow gold ballerina style ring with 2.5 karat centered diamond surrounding by a swirling skirt of nearly identical baguettes. Centered stone has a small chip on the beveled edge, which is naked to the human eye. Once a jeweler pointed it out, however, I could feel with my fingernail. The cut is called a miner's cut, I believe. And from what I've read, it's coming back into fashion with younger people looking for something different. The ring sits up on a kind of high, but is not one bit fragile. I'm not a girly girl and feel comfortable wearing it on holidays. It's a size 8 or maybe 8.5. We'll sell for $9,500 if no horse and trailer to trade. If interested, let me know what you have, and I will not mail this ring or sell it without meeting in person in a secure location. Thanks for considering.
Okay. She spent more time selling the ring than what she actually wanted.
No.
So if you have a draft horse and need a ring, there you go. Perfect.
I need to know this, a $10,000 engagement ring.
That's going to be a nice draft horse too, by the way.
Yeah, shoot.
It's going to be more than your average trail riding draft horse. All right, let's end the day with Scott again.
Hey, this is Scott. This bad ad comes from Southwest Virginia Craigslist. I would call it short and sweet, but really it's just short. Title is Halflinger, $2,000, Kershaw. The ad, in its entirety, reads, 14 reg halflinger, 14 hands may be rides well we stand to get on great horse, sell or trade. I'll read that again. 14 reg halflinger, 14 hands may be rides well we stand to get on great horse, sell or trade.
I have no idea. It's a halflinger. I got that.
Only the facts.
Yeah, that's
it.
Right. Only the facts, ma'am. Only the facts. Well, Joy, congratulations. You made it through your first really bad ads. Yay! Good job. Awesome. Your southern accent's very refined and upper class.
I have a lot of family from down there who won't talk to me for about 3 weeks.
All right, we have to do this, Glenn. Hang on 1 second.
All right.
There you go.
Yay! Very well done. You did a great job today.
Thank you. Thanks you guys so much for having me. This was a blast.
A new career for you. Well, don't. I mean, no, none of us make any money, so you really don't want to switch.
I do like working for my gym jams.
Yeah. Well, thanks again, and we really appreciate it. Can you just give a quick plug of why people who are not auditors that listen to this show every day should become one?
Oh my gosh, I could give a quick plug or a novel, but I'll stick with quick for time's sake. Honestly, to become an auditor, I hate Facebook. Facebook makes me sad most days. But I love this community. It's the only reason I still really stay on social media, because I have just met the most wonderful people who are supportive and just have this basically a full library of knowledge from across the horse world. And it's just great. You know, you don't always meet them in person, but, you know, if I went to a coffee shop in someone else's town, it's nice to know that there's someone there that I could talk to and kind of had some interactions with. And it's $1 a month. Like, I always say, just give up a latte. If you want to do more, like, do it, go for it. But at least, like, you know, test the water, stick your toes in the shallow end and see what you like. And then, you know, you'll do what I did. I started with $1 a month and I bumped up because I saw the value and I saw the investment, but I was never pressured to do it. I mean, it's just a great, great community to be a part of. So if you're listening, be an auditor.
And we're going to be giving away some product here soon. Horse Lovers, I talked to them yesterday, and they have a whole new batch of products to be sent out for testing. So the auditors get to do that. They get first dibs on that. And they also get first dibs on co-hosting.
Woohoo!
So you're going to have to fill in for me sometime with Jamie.
That could be a blast.
Yeah, I think you guys would have fun. I think it would be a lot of fun.
We'll probably segue too much, but we'll do our best to stay on track.
And also, you guys are going to talk too much. You'll never get to the guest. So so we have Megan filling in on Monday, so take a listen for that. We'll be back here on Monday. Thanks again, Joy. Good luck with your new job. And
Thank you.
We hope that you transition well and that you're not too hated over the next 20 years.
I am a really good baker, so I'm hoping to win people over with food.
Baked goods helps a lot. Yeah.
Especially
yes.
in
can't
government.
Can't yell at me if I made you cupcakes. Yes. Nope. You can't do it.
Diplomacy began when baked goods were invented,
that's
by
right.
the way.
Especially in government offices. Baked goods, yeah. should be just fine. Cupcakes, donuts, cookies, you're good. You're mm-hmm. good to go. And send some down yeah. our way, too, because I'm hungry go. Right now. You just made me hungry. Thanks, Joy.
No problem anytime.